Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, friends. Welcome into the Eric Dangerfield Podcast. Daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. I'm right here in the Impact Power Sports Studio, Impact Power Sports, online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great place to go if you're looking for a Yamaha golf cart, ATV, UTV, motorcycle, e-bike, scooter, go-kart. They've got it all at Impact Power Sports. Great place to go in Rockford, Michigan. They got a full service department for you there if you need anything at all, maybe on your existing gear or if you need something updated on your current setup or looked at. They can help. Starting this show and a little bit concerned, we have Darla in and out of the room. That's why I have the door open there, and she's a little bit concerned on how temperamental she is. She has started this, you know, Pooh Bear just went back to school, so she's not liking that at all. So she isn't, you know. She would prefer being with her at all times. So now she's stuck with me and she kind of hates her life because of that. So, excuse me. Okay. So we are off and running on what was a very, very eventful weekend and a lot to talk about. But what I want to get into first was kind of like this very one-sided assault that took place. This brouhaha on the Eric Zane Show podcast Facebook fan page. If I am Rod Weber, I'm wondering if he's having any remorse about picking a fight with your old pal EZ. Man Bun Chris says, you murdered that dude, LOL. Yeah, I had to. You know, look, the dynamic here that everybody knows is Free Beer and I are sworn enemies for life. Always will be. We kind of always were. I mean, it wasn't exactly rainbows, kisses, and roses when I worked with the idiot. But as time has passed, the way the dynamic worked out, this is the timeline. So about 3-4 years ago, I'm reviewing audio of their show for who are for it couldn't have been that long ago. It's probably less than that. No, I think it was, but I wasn't doing Who Are These Free Beers at the time. Not regularly, at least. But I heard Greg really go after Coleman Lutz and said some terrible things about him. And he also went after Coleman's mother. He was pissed off about something. And in part of his blistering them, he, I guess this is doxing. I'm not 100% sure, but he revealed what Coleman's mother does for a living as a public servant in that community and encouraged like people to blow up her phone. And so they did. And I was like, well, that's bullshit. So I reached out to her and she goes, yeah, it happened. He's kind of a putz. So at that point, I was talking about it on this show, and I even referred to her. I go, this local hag, which she's not, but in a silly way she is. She heard that. I mentioned that on Patreon, and then I noticed that she signed up for Patreon, Coleman's mother, and I was like, oh, no. She's going to hear me call her a hag, and I was saying it in jest. I was being supportive, but she's like, you asshole. I was like, oh, I'm going to get along with you just fine. She did say, thank you for defending my son. I go, hey, I'd like to meet him. So Coleman and I hit it off. As time would pass, Coleman filled me in on a family detail that took that is part of the family arrangement with his ex, which is the nose. And when he told me, I was like, what? So it eventually came out on this show. And I, you know, and that is that Coleman's mom, pardon me, Coleman's ex, Kayla, her mother, divorced her father. Or there was a divorce. There was a divorce that took place between the mother and the father. And then the mom gets married to the father's brother. Now that's fucked. But I was like, holy shit. Time passes, and I noticed that the brother who married the mom starts commenting on my Facebook posts. That's always tricky business if you're going to make a comment on my Facebook post. And it's even more tricky if you make a snarky comment on one of my Facebook posts, because I usually take those poorly and respond appropriately. But even more so if it's someone who married his brother's ex-wife. If you're a guy that gets married to your brother's ex-wife, it's kind of like a life goal of yours, in my opinion, to keep your head down. Because no matter what you say, there's a pretty good chance that the other side is going to go back to the fact that, you know, you married your brother's ex-wife. Now, I have no idea if Rod Weber was taking Kayla's mom to Pound Town when it was known as Rod's sister-in-law. I don't know that. Maybe the first relationship ended, plenty of time passed, and then Rod and Kayla's mom struck up a courtship. We don't know that. It could have happened. Or it could have been that he was taking Kayla's mom to Pound Town while Kayla's mom was married to Kayla's dad. We don't know that. These are all possibilities. I would like to think that Rod Weber would not have taken Kayla's mom to Pound Town when Kayla's mom was married to Rod's brother. Anyway, Rod shows up on one of my Facebook posts. 10 out of 10 times, I'm minding my own business. And for some reason, I keep getting people that want to take a run at me. Whether it's a Segment 18 LARPer or if it's someone who marries his brother's wife. Nick, with a comment, they were DPing like Amanda's cousins. Yeah, that's right. Amanda had sex with two cousins. I think that's it. Anyway, this is how it went on my end. Like I said, they're just minding my own business. And then Rod there checks in on my, I was promoting my Who Are These Free Beers show. And he wrote, people really pay to listen to this? Now look, I can't let that go. If I have an opportunity to hammer a guy who married his brother's ex-wife, I'm going to do that. So all it takes is a few lines, and that's what I did. I wrote, so for those who don't know, Rod here is married to Greg's wife's mother, but he's also her uncle. Rod's brother, the nose's dad, was married to Kayla's mom. They divorced. Uncle Rod ended up marrying Kayla's mom, so he's a stunkle. The fact that I have his attention on here is excellent motivation for your old pal EZ. Thanks, Stunkle Rod. By the way, your entire family seems gross. No wonder you all live in Door Hill Jacks. Rod kept coming back for more, though. Again, if you're going to go out of your way to take a run at EZ and you married your brother's ex, God damn. Rod says, I was kind of asking a question and the people was more looking for a yes or no. He's referring to when he wrote, people actually listen to this? Well, no, you weren't. I mean, you can say that now, but at the same time, you were trying to be insulting and snarky to me, but you're a standard model. You don't have the ability. No one has the ability to do what you're attempting to do there, Rod, let alone someone who is having sex with his brother's ex-wife. So I asked serious question. How are you able to justify betraying your own brother like that? Now, he doesn't ever answer me. He always dodges the questions. But just the fact that he's seen what I'm writing to him, it just makes me happy. He wrote, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. It's not a question for you. Maybe later you will get a chance to talk. So that's his approach. I wrote, speaking of feelings, were you worried about your brothers when you married his wife? So he keeps coming back for more. Outstanding work by me. What a weekend. Bob says, dude really needs some help utilizing the English language and use of punctuation. So that was a good portion of my weekend. And I was excited to engage. So what you have here, if you're Kayla, you got to be fucking pissed because you and your family, well, maybe not you, but your family look like a bunch of fucking clowns because of your stunkle. This is I'm offering you some advice. Kayla, tell Stunkle Rod to shut the fuck up. What a fucking moron. I mean, you're already in kind of a bad spot because you're married to Freebeer. And, you know, I'm going to kick his ass all the time on here. But the fact that Stunkle Rod is stepping into my backyard, and no one alive is equipped to do what Stunkle Rod is trying to do. The nickname itself, Stunkle, it's unbelievable. Your Stunkle is getting his ass kicked over and over and over again. All right? Now, there's no way in hell she doesn't reach out to him and say, Stunkle Rod, please stop. By the way, I got Coleman tipped me off. And he goes, by the way, are you aware that Stunkle Rod's son, Scott, is on your Patreon? I'm like, what? He is? So I looked it up, and sure enough, he is, or at least he was. He signed up for a year in January of 24. From January of 24 to January of 25, he had a year. I don't know if he's still on, if he's renewed. I got to double check to see if he is. I should have done this beforehand. No, my man is still in. Okay. So Scott is Stunkle Rod's son. And as of January of 2024, he is he's on the show. He's following along on Patreon. And I don't even know what to do with that. My first thought was, I go, well, I said to Coleman, I go, so what is he doing? Is he monitoring to see if I, like, say something that's where I could get sued? And he goes, no, I don't think so. I go, is he gonna kick my ass? And he goes, no, he's not capable of kicking anybody's ass. So I'm like, okay. What did he write? No, he wouldn't beat anyone's ass. Scott is pretty chill. I'm sure he is laughing if he knows about it. So I said, so that's Kayla's, instead of cousin, that would now be Kayla's step-brother. So she has Stunkle Rod, and then Scott would be her step-brother. B-R-O-U-S-I-N. I think I'm following along. So what do we have here? Let's review. Now, after further investigation, Kayla's step-brother, Scott, supports the Eric Zane Show podcast Patreon. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. Scott, I'm counting on you to help me get Stunkle Rod on the show. What I was thinking is we could get Stunkle Rod to play Family Feud. There's all sorts of avenues here for hilarity, and you can be kind of like the point man on this, step-brother Scott. And at the end of the day, this is pissing Greg off. And to me, that is the ultimate gift. If I know that Greg is pissed, and he is, there's a spring in my step. I'm sitting up taller in my chair. This is a sworn lifelong enemy of your old pal EZ. So, wow, I've got Stunkle Rod contributing to my Facebook posts. I've got step-brother Scott supporting me on Patreon. Outstanding. Cole says maybe Cole V. I don't think this is Cole, who used to be married to Greg's wife. I think it's Cole in Colorado Springs. Maybe he enjoys the free beer beat-ups. He might. Maybe he thinks Greg's a cock. I don't know. Ben Weller's here. He says, dang it, I missed the Stunkle talk. Oh, my God. Yeah, you did, but there's... good thing is you can go back and check it out. Patrick says you have to talk about step-brother Scott on the Patreon. I absolutely will. That means that slowly but surely I am winning over audience members, family members of Free Beers. These are by marriage family members. So if Stunkle Rod is a Stunkle to Kayla, that would make Stunkle Rod a what to Free Beer? Stunkle-in-law? I think it would be. There's got to be another way to say that. That sounds more hilarious. But he has a Stunkle-in-law, and he has his father-in-law. All right. Chris says the family tree looks like a Christmas wreath. Well, I don't know about that. You see, there's nothing technically wrong with marrying your brother's ex-wife. Like, it's not, you know, you hear about people who inbreed. This is not that. It's more the fact that, you know, the tension you're going to cause within the family. Coleman was telling me that when he was part of this nonsense, there was a lot of strategic work that had to be accomplished to be able to visit people on the holidays because of fear of Stunkle and father and father-in-law and whatever crossing paths. It's not great from what I'm understanding. Now, maybe they've patched it up over time, but I mean, think about you and your own life, audience members. If you have a, let's say you're married, picture your sibling marrying your significant other. How would that go? Horrible. I wouldn't, you know, this is the type of nonsense that is the, what's surrounding various, like, a horrible incident that's covered on the show Dateline. But I am eternally thankful that Stunkle Rod made an appearance on my Facebook page. Piano Finger Banger says, imagine the Queen of the Forest marrying Charity Scam Mike. Well, yeah, that's terrible to even consider, but it would have to be even worse than that because that's not my blood brother. That's my brother-in-law. It would have to be my brother, World Book Jim, marrying the Queen of the Forest. Yeah, I mean, like, that destroys families. All right. Thank you so much for being part of the show on Facebook and on YouTube, but I'm getting ready to kick you out, unfortunately. The rest of the show is available on Twitch, twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Or download the Twitch app and search Eric Zane Live, and you'll be all set, good to go. My show on Patreon, as I talked about, is there for you. 7 days free, patreon.com/Eric Zane. Last week, at the end of the week, I published the Ben and Eric Patreon podcast and the latest edition of Who Are These Freebeers? Every day, I put out another Patreon bonus podcast. Mondays and Fridays, the Lost Zane recordings. Tuesday of this week, tomorrow, is the Big Fraud Book Club meeting on Patreon. That's going to be awesome. If you want to be in on Book Club, I just added another member, Kyle Tomey, Friday. Thank you. If you want in on Book Club, just let me know. All you got to do is say, hey, I want in on Book Club. The only reason why I need your name is so that I can, because then I can add you to, like, the drawing. Because every time we finish a book, we draw another name to see. And then it's up to you to pick the book. You're our book picker. So if you want in on all of that, that's at patreon.com/Eric Zane. If you want in on Book Club, email me on the Shoreliners Striping inbox, eric@ericzaneshow.com. Runner Girl Amy says, how is everyone's reading going? I'm going to get to that in a second. I think that's worthy of a little bit of a discussion. But before I kick those folks out, thank you so much for enjoying this portion of the show. But the rest of it, as I said, is available at twitch.tv/Eric Zane Live. Facebook and YouTube, pardon me, Facebook and Twitch, brought to you by Irvine's Auto Repair, Grand Rapids Hybrid and EV. Great place to get your vehicles repaired. You can find them online at irvines.com, ervines.com. Call them at 616-532-6600 If you need any work done in your car, hybrid, or EV, ask about their loaner cars. They are free. You can get a loaner car so you don't have to worry about anybody driving you around. Let's say your car breaks down and it's on a tow truck. Say, take it to Irvine's. They'll take care of the rest. ervines.com. I have a brand new sponsor that I want to talk about right now. I should probably say a partner, actually. Catholic Charities West Michigan is reaching out to anyone who wants to know more about becoming a foster parent. Catholic Charities supports approximately 20% of the 450 children in foster care in Kent County alone, which is right next door to us here. They serve children from babies to teenagers and provide support to families. All children need a family to support them when things happen to prevent them from remaining in the care of their biological parents. So imagine that. Bad situation. You name it. What happens in a household where mom and dad are not able to provide for a child? I guess you can just kind of use your imagination with that one. When that happens, the child is placed into foster care. That is the best thing that they could possibly have outside of being with healthy mom and dad. And while they keep fingers crossed that mom and dad will turn it around, until that happens, the child is kept in foster care, which is a loving home to care for them and protect them and meet their needs, lend a guiding hand, and be a motherly figure or fatherly figure while the young person tries to find their way. Catholic Charities West Michigan is in need of families who have it in their heart to step up and provide love and consistency for children who need it the most. They also provide assistance with food programs, what's known as a no-cost baby boutique, adoption, counseling, parenting classes, and foster care programs. So basically, you agree to do it. They provide you agree to be a foster parent. They provide you with everything you need to do an amazing job. Please contact my pal Bernadette Joyce over at Catholic Charities West Michigan today. I've worked with Catholic Charities in the past from my days over at BBL, and I'm just so excited to have them back as part of this show so I can talk about the great things that they do. So basically here, if you're willing to take a step further to support kids and families who need it the most in our community, take that first step by calling Catholic Charities West Michigan 616-915-4695 or emailing Bernadette. Here's her email, B Joyce. That's BJOYCE at ccwestmi.org. That's B Joyce at ccwestmi.org. At least just to find out information. I think one of the examples I like to use is the Kuiper family, not Kevin and Matt, Tim and Chris, who what started out as fostering to them when they fostered Zeke at a very, very young age. And they ended up adopting Zeke. I'm not saying that you're expected to adopt. I'm just saying the salt of the earth people that make up this show's audience at least would be interested in perhaps pursuing this. Everybody but Stevie. Stevie is actually not allowed to even reach out. Okay. The word has the bat signal has gone out to the world that no children are allowed to be in Stevie's house. Ben is here. He says, who are these free beers? Never disappoints. Love hearing Eric and Ben together. Runner girl Amy says, how is everyone's reading going? The book Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. Hey, it's your old pal Eric Zane for Secret Nature, makers of ultra premium CBD gummies. And I'm going to tell you how you can take advantage of a special offer to save you 30% in a minute. But let me share this with you. You know that I've got about a million things going during any given day. And I just recently discovered Secret Nature to help me keep it all together during the day and help me wind down when the day is done. Ultra premium CBD gummies from Secret Nature. Crafted with real botanicals, nothing extra, and designed to support your day with clean, purposeful functionality. I want you to try Secret Nature Ultimum Premium CBD Gummies. Organic, farm grown, not made in a lab. You can try Bliss for clear focus and productive flow. That's what I use during the day. And Snoozers to unwind and rest at the end of the day. Consistent measured CBD per gummy, so there's no guessing. Intentional formulations that feel clean and slot naturally into your routine. Take it from me, I keep it all together during the day with Bliss. And when it's time to relax, sometimes my mind is going a million miles an hour from all of the things that I've done during the day and the things that I have to do on the next day. That's when I'll take the snoozers to unwind. You need to try Secret Nature Ultra Premium Gummies. And here's what I want you to do. You can get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. And then let me know how it goes. Again, get 30% off of your first order at secretnature.com with code Zane. That's secretnature.com, code Zane. Secret Nature.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. bill.com/procurement200.
She's on chapter 11. Clown of Carnage says, a little slow, but should hit the mark by tomorrow. So Nick in Houston recommended this book. Now, I have thoughts on the book, but I'm going to save them for our book review. I am hoping to be, well, I will be halfway completed in the book. That was the homework assignment. We needed you to be halfway done with the book and then contributing in on the discussions of the book Martyr by Kaveh Akbar. I will say nothing about the book right now. Save it for book club. It was a busy weekend for your old pal EZ and several audience members. We spent Friday hanging out at the corner bar. There was 14, 15, 16 of us there. Thank you very much. Saul showed up. Saul was kind of the star of the show, along with his brother Harry. Those two, I think they did great. That is Saul's younger brother. And Saul can really get around with that cane. He's the type that's super independent, too. Blind Saul. I said, hey, buddy, you want me to help you down the stairs? No! No, I got my cane! I'm like, oh, shit. I thought he was going to hit me with it. Saul can eat, too, by the way. He put away the food. I don't know where it goes. He got the fish and the fries, and he got the pretzel bites. I snagged a few of the pretzel bites. It's easy to steal from him. The boys had to go either no meat or kosher. Saul went with the fish. Harry went with the grilled cheese with the Caesar salad. They paid attention to their observances, their dietary observances, as leaders in the Jewish faith community. Saul was again reading his food. I've talked to him about this, and I go, Saul, it's like the food is a Braille book when he's reading it or eating it. It's almost like I said, Saul, are you reading the fish? Because I remember when we were at Pepino's and he was reading the pizza. I was like, what the fuck is going on with the pizza, Saul? Hey, Eric, it's how I eat it. All right, fine. I'll get out of the way. Saul can handle anything. He Ubered there. And he's probably the most... He's actually a cool blind guy. I think I have found a rarity, and that is a blind dude who is actually not an idiot. So I was very happy to see that. I will add it, Saul, officially to the stable of blind people that is not a jackass. Saul is not a jackass. Blind Tony, beep, beep, baseball, now known as beep, beep, blowjob, not an asshole. And Alan in Scotland. The rest, dicks. After we pigged out, we wandered down the street in Rockford to Pinball Land. We had a group there that was already, I didn't really, go Josh, go, showed up. So did Phil and Spruitt, who work with me at the Grand Rapids Gold. The Griffins and Van Andel Arena. That was fun. Kyle Tome was there. Kyle was planning on bringing up to 10 drunkards from his bachelor party, and they were all too shit-faced. So he wasn't shit-faced. So he left the bachelor party because he was over nearby at one of the taverns, and he showed up there. And then our usual crew, not everybody played pinball. Rainbow Flag Jeremy did the Irish goodbye. I didn't see Stevie too much. I don't know what's, she was there with us at the corner bar, but I don't remember her being there at the pinball thing. Anyway, we had a ton of fun. It was a good time. We're going to do it again, and we cannot wait to see you. BT from Shoreliner Striping was there. That was a surprise. Thank you. Derek D and his lovely better half, Julie. See if I can remember everybody. Sarah Rookruck Roosh, her husband, Brad, her nephew, Josh, runner girl, Amy. Nick, black belt, Nick. Derek D, Julie, said them. BT, Saul. Saul's brother, Harry, Pooh Bear, myself, Jeremy, that's Jeremy K, Rebecca, and Rainbow Flag Jeremy. Who am I forgetting? If I forgot you, I'm so sorry. Stevie. All right. Saturday, I go to Berlin Raceway. I don't know what to expect. I'm in the broadcast booth with Jeff Striegel. Now, the original plan was I was going to do uninformed race announcer. But that proved to be, that would be more difficult doing uninformed race announcer than actually attempting to do a play-by-play race announce. That actually, doing it silly was harder to do than actually doing the race. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. Because I got in there and Jeff says, okay, there's a couple of, I want you to announce these races. And he gives me the starting grid. I go, all right. So I read the starters on the grid and what spot they are. Green flag drops. Away we go. And I start announcing. I'm doing play-by-play racetrack side. And I am kind of convinced that I like that and may have unlocked a new skill. Now, I don't know shit about racing. But I know how to fill time with words. And I think that that's part of it. I started to get the hang of it. I did three races. I did two heat races for the four cylinders. And I did the Sportsman Series main event. So I loved it. I really enjoyed it. So I stayed there for the whole goddamn time. And I said to Jeff, I go, this is so much fun. I can't wait to do it again. So I'll be back there. Not in 3 weeks, actually, I believe. Coming up, that is September 13th. If you want, that is the final race of the year at Berlin Raceway. Get your tickets at berlinraceway.com. This weekend, they're off. And then the following weekend, the 5th and 6th, you can get tickets for Friday and Saturday for $25 before 11:59 p.m. on Thursday, the 4th of September. So do that, and you can get two tickets for $25 for Friday and Saturday. They're doing two nights on that weekend. And then the final weekend is the 13th. BerlinRaceway.com. Great fun. Had a good time there. I'm trying to think if I did anything that was embarrassing. I threw a T-shirt. You know, they give you these T-shirts to whip, and they're all balled up so you can get you can throw them a long way. And they kept telling me that there was a spot in the stands that there's a wind blowing. No one ever gets it there. And I go, fuck that. I'm going to throw it there, and I'm going to throw it right on the money. And I go, who wants a T-shirt? And this guy stands up. He's a big barrel-chested hillbilly with a giant white beard, and he's bald. So we're still waiting for the green light to throw the T-shirts in the evening's program. And I had been saying, I go, I'm going to throw it at Santa. I'm going to. Now, he's a solid distance away. Like I said, they didn't even think I could reach it to him. And then I veered back and threw it, and I threw a fucking strike. And I hit him right in the chest, Santa Claus, over everybody. And he fucking dropped it. And some lady with a red, white, and blue cowboy hat on caught it. I was like, way to go! On Sunday, yesterday, it was Madison's birthday. Now, I know we had talked about the possibility of, in fact, I was convinced I was going to be holding an otter. That did not happen. But we did go to Deer Tracks Junction. This is definitely worth it. Okay, so you're a mom or a dad. A family of four for probably 2 to 3 hours of awesomeness. You're going to spend about $170 if you don't go to the snack bar. Let's just say $200. This is what you get. This is like a free plug, but I love this place so much. You don't have to do the drive-through, but it's everything I'm telling you about is worth it. So just do it. You give these people your money, $25, and then you also spend money for some carrot sticks and some apple sticks. And then you go walk through the petting zoo. And it's really clean, and it's nice, and it's like a fucking fantasy world because you've got baby goats and baby pigs, piglets, fighting over your attention. And they're like, pet me, pet me. And it's like, well, yeah. And then the next thing you know, a baby kangaroo comes hopping by. It's like, you ever pet a baby kangaroo? Their fur is like velvet. Oh, my God. So I'm like, what am I going to, I mean, this, I am such a sucker for animals. I'm like, this is fucking heaven. And then you wander over to the llama pen. These llamas are so sweet, and their nose and mouth area is so soft. They're like adorable fuzzy vag lips. They're so soft. It's unbelievable. And you put the feed in your hand, and they eat it right out of your hand. And they don't, they're like not rude. They're super sweet. And you can like hug them and pet them, and they just love you. I was surrounded by like half a dozen llamas. My God, were they amazing. I had so much fun. Then they've got this goddamn cow. Well, he's a steer with the giant horns. Oh, you can just pet them. And they had the, what are those cows I was telling you about? Begins the letter H. They got those two. and they were super sweet. And then there was a cow that we did the drive-through thing. And they're a little bit more aggressive. And this one cow in particular, Highland cows, those are the ones. And but this cow, I said that they smell like Prel. This one does not. This one smells. And Stevie says, EZ, it's meeting time. You're late. I forgot to mention this. There's no meeting today. We're good. I appreciate you looking out for me, though. To anybody who was telling me, EZ, you're going to be late. You got your radio meeting. They called it off for today because the bosses are out of town. Sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier. Everybody was like, Eric, oh my God, you're going to be late, you asshole. Chris K says, did they smell musky? No. I mean, it's the equivalent. This cow in particular, and he was large. He was, I should say, I think he was a bull or a steer. I don't know. It was a male cow. I'm pretty sure that every animal in the area took a shit in one spot, and he like ordered them to do it. And then he went ahead and rolled in all of the shit. And then 1 second after he did that, he got up and he came up to my window. And this is that scene when that cow approached and said hello to me.
Get out. Asshole. Get the fuck out of here. Go. Get out. No. You smell. Go. No. No.
He's not a dog, Eric. He's not gonna live.
No, get.
He's not a dog, Eric. Damn it.
Get out. Asshole. Get the fuck out of here. Go. Get out. No. You smell. Go. No.
Pet him.
No.
He's not a dog, Eric. He's not going to live.
We finally got the hell out of there. You got to be careful with some of these animals because, in particular, there's this one cow who's an absolute giant. And if you go to feed him with your bowl of feed, he's going to knock it right out of your hand. And then there was a camel who was super aggressive, and he just bit the bowl and flung it out of somebody's hand. All in all, an outstanding adventure. I give it 2 thumbs up. It's twice I've been there. They have not let me down. Got up early before that, did everything I needed to do for Slaughter the Turks, Armenian spaghetti and meatballs for Madison's birthday. That was the meal that was requested. All in the crock pot, leave, Deer Tracks Junction, come home, eat. Back half of the day, planning the class for the radio and podcasting class tonight. Busy day for your old pal EZ. Chris says, classic meathead-ism. I don't know what you mean. Did I say a meathead-ism type of thing? I'm not sure. Alan says, spaghetti in a crock pot. Well, the sauce and the meatballs. Or did you think I put like the noodles in there? I'm not sure what you're making it sound with spaghetti in a crock pot. Like it's not kosher to put the sauce and cook it along with the meatballs in the crock pot. I guess he was not understanding. No. The sauce and the meatballs. Yes. You put that in the crock pot on low for and let it cook that way. Man Bun Chris says the classic meathead ism is you smell like you smell. I guess I did. All right. So what a weekend. So glad you all are here. I need to take a quick break and do the boy and not do the boys' room. Go to the boys' room. I don't know what I'm doing. And talk amongst yourselves. And I will be back. I promise you. Nick, the electrician, has a comment about spaghetti. He writes, my hillbilly aunt makes what's called one-pot spaghetti, slow cooks, noodles, and all. No, I love that. Oh, you can't go wrong with pasta, seriously. Bob says, just heat a jar of sauce in a pot, add a little garlic, parsley, paprika, and chili powder. Yeah, seriously, it's impossible to fuck it up. You got to be a real idiot to not be able to make something that tastes good when it comes to a spaghetti type of meal. I'll eat it all, every bit of it. But the Slaughter of the Turks Armenian meatballs, probably the best ever. The best ever. I've provided that many, many times in the past. If you want the Slaughter of the Turks Armenian meatballs, which I did win a actual contest in, I'll include it in the show notes. I'll never forget that. We were in New Jersey. This is fucking 20-some years ago, more than that. Radio station says, our AM station is doing a spaghetti and meatballs sauce contest. And we need participants from the radio station. So I agreed to be in it. It was probably 10 to 15 of us. I'm not going to lie. I just grabbed any recipe off the internet. Changed nothing. Claimed it. And I made it at home. And I tried it. This is like the day before. And I was like, God damn, this is really good. Really good. Now, the best part of this is that the judges were all... some of the judges were like chefs at Italian restaurants in or around the Princeton, New Jersey area. And all these goddamn Dagos take real pride in their spaghetti and meatballs. You know, these are the type of Italians that act like it's good to be Italian. You know, they're like overly proud of their ethnicity. Everybody knows that they're like the worst, but everybody knows but them. So you don't say that to them and just let them think that they're, you know, important. So all these chefs whose names are like whatever, Roselli and, whatever. Think of any Italian. Chef Roselli said, hey, chef, hey, yo, hey, hey, oh, hey, whatever. And I remember the chef is talking, because it was on the radio on our AM station. And he's talking about, he goes, yes, we've come up with our results. Some of these were very, very, very bad. And a few were very, very, very good. Now, at the radio station, there's a bunch of Italians that work there. They're all thinking that their sauce and their meatballs are awesome. They all sucked. When he announced third place, I knew I was really good. I knew my food was great. He announced third place. As soon as he announced third place, I thought, I won. I knew it. I just knew it. And then, but I didn't make a comment. I'm sitting next to Greg and Chris. And then they announced second, and then I was for sure I won. I go, I won. You watch, I won. And they're like, come on, come on. Because all this time, they didn't believe me when I told them that my fucking sauce and meatballs were fucking excellent. And then they announced me as the goddamn winner. I was like, fuck, yes. And this crazy chick who works at the radio station, she's like emceeing it. She makes me come up and like do a victory speech. And I said it was all because Armenians know how to cook better than any. I'm like really trolling hard. It's because Armenians are the greatest cooks on the planet. So much better than you filthy Italians. Fuck you. I didn't say that, but you know, you can just imagine how insufferable I was about this. As I should be. It was outstanding. I don't even know what the fuck I won. Doesn't matter. I didn't even give a shit that I won. I mean, I didn't even give a shit about the prize. I just wanted to stick it in the face of all these asshole Italians over there. It was so great. I will include it in the show notes. It's a very simple recipe. There's not a lot to it. I like it when a person puts way too much into their sauce, thinking that all these extra steps make it so much better. It's like, you idiot. You have no idea. Nick says a bag of frozen meatballs and a jar of Prego. Yeah, I can't say that that's bad at all. I will take bag of frozen meatballs and Prego over a lot of what those filthy Italians made during that competition. Bob says sausage coins are better than meatballs. I love sausage coins. One of the keys is the meatballs. I don't like to make them overly big. I go less than golf ball. I go more like the size of when you had that little mini pool table when you were a kid. I like those. Nick says he slices the garlic so thin it melts into the sauce. Goodfellas. You got to use a razor. Paulie would cut it that way. That's a great system. I should try that one time. It takes forever, though, to use a razor blade to slice the fucking garlic. All right. Anyway, where was I? There was a meltdown in the Australian Open. Daniil Medvedev. Oh, I've heard of the name Medvedev. He's taking on some other dude. This is the first round of the U.S. Open. And Medvedev lost his fucking mind. This is a great meltdown. He got pissed off. Because his opponent, I guess, had served and he faulted on the serve. So he's getting ready to, they allow you to do it again. The opponent goes to do it again. And for some reason, this goddamn photographer got up and ran on the court, off of the court, but still he was moving, which you're supposed to be still. You're supposed to be quiet. And it distracted the guy on his second serve. And they said, hold on, what are you doing? You can't run on the court. All right, dude, go ahead. We're going to go back to your first serve. So they took the fault away. All right? Which Medvedev was like, no, you can't do that. You can't take the fault away. He still has, this is his second serve. Umpire says, no. And so whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. I don't care. All I care about is that Medvedev explodes, and then he urges the fans on to make noise and boo, and they did. And you have to wait till the crowd quiets. So the other guy, Benjamin Bonzi, has to wait until the crowd finally fucking calms down. Bonzi ends up winning the match, and Medvedev flips out again.
Daniil Medvedev asked an umpire if he was a man and incited the crowd to boo, causing a lengthy delay at the US Open. Down match point to his opponent, Benjamin Bonzi, a photographer ran onto the court and all hell broke loose.
Daniil Medvedev, yet to be accused of being a class act. Okay. He was on the ropes against Benjamin Bonzi.
He's doing a dick-sucking maneuver. Did you see that? That is a blowjob dick suck.
To be accused of being a class act. He was on the ropes against Ben.
You gotta love Australian TV. They open up. They don't blur it. They open up with Medvedev doing blowjob pantomime while he's skipping across the court.
He accused of being a class act. He was on the ropes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Against Benjamin Bonzi down match point when the chaos really kicked off. A photographer ran along the court catching everyone off guard.
Wait, please, not now. Get off the court, please.
Bonzi given a chance to redo his first serve.
Yeah, that's the photographer. He fucked up. You're not supposed to do that. I mean, tennis guys are bitches. If anybody even so much as blinks, they're going to lose their mind, which is bullshit. But whatever.
In the rules, but not to Medvedev's liking.
He wants to go home, guys. He doesn't like to be here. He gets paid by the match, not by the hour.
Yeah. Having questioned the umpire if he was a man, Medvedev told the crowd to boo as the official tried to get the match restarted. It was a 6-minute holdup.
It is match point for Benjamin Bonzi.
Medvedev. People are booing. I can't possibly serve this fucking ball.
Back from the dead, won the set in a tiebreak and breezed through the next.
He's found a new lease on life.
Hats off to Frenchman Bonzi, who found his groove again and won the craziest first-round encounter he'll ever have. Just before he was...
Okay, not this guy. And then this guy destroys his fucking racket.
Just before he was interviewed on court, another final interruption from Medvedev, destroying rackets in the background.
How do you sum up this match?
This kid in the background watching this guy lose his shit. That's like my favorite part. Because like, oh, okay, I guess I got to be an asshole.
Rackets in the background.
How do you sum up this match?
I have no idea. It was crazy.
Jordan Thompson.
Crowd's booing this guy. Why? It's not this guy's fucking fault. Why is everybody booing this guy?
Thompson continues to play in a back brace. The Aussie taking on a man.
Tennis is stupid. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.
Sick of procurement bottlenecks? Get the cure with Bill Procurement. Bill is the all-in-one platform trusted by nearly 500,000 businesses to simplify their financial operations. And now they've introduced Bill Procurement, which pairs seamlessly with accounts payable to automate procure-to-pay workflows in one place. Every step, from submitting a purchase request to reconciling payment, happens in Bill Procurement, so your business keeps moving and growing. Score $200 when you see Bill Procurement in action with a demo. Go to bill.com/procurement200. Bill.com/procurement200.